What's up, everybody? South Bay, it's great to be here. I gotta tell you one thing, I love that video, don't you? It's like you come out and you're like, let's do it. I don't know what we're doing, but let's go. I'm ready. Man, I wanna welcome all of our campuses who are joining with us today, as well as all of you who are joining us online. It is so great to have you here today and have you with us. You know, as you heard during our service today, and even with that video, we're in a series right now called Win Within. Because we think that the greatest challenges and battles will be fought on the inside. And today, as we jump into this message, the thing I'm thinking about is, I think one of the greatest battles that we fight within will be the battle with fear. I mean, maybe you can think back at some point in your life and you can remember that story or that time where you responded or acted out of fear. You know, maybe even you can think about right now, there's that time or that conversation or that thing that you know you need to do, that you're shrinking back a little bit because you're like, I don't really want to do that because I don't know how this is going to pan out. And it's a little bit of fear inside that we got to battle. Well, for me, I remember this time in elementary school. And so for all of us at all of our campuses, we can go back to elementary school. So just put your elementary hat back on. You know, if you were in the early 90s like me, you probably had on bright colors and your tube socks pulled up to here and you're walking in. And you're going to school right now in this elementary age mindset. Well, for me in elementary school, there was this thing that I had to do that I was kind of afraid of. And it was when my mom was taking me to get shots. Anybody remember that? You know, you got to go get your shots and they're going to go stab you with metal objects in the name of health. Like, this is basically what's happening. So I've got to go get my shots for school. My mom's taking me down to this building, which is right beside the hospital. It's one of those like Department of Health buildings. So, you know, it's not like your pediatrician, because your pediatrician, they think, oh, kids are scared. They don't like the doctor. They don't like shots. So they're going to have like animals and stuff around to make you feel good and work through your pain and your fears, things like this. No, this is like the sterile Department of Health type building, like big white marble floors, like bright lights. And you're like, there's nothing to help me as a kid calm down right now in this. Everything in me and in this place says, get worked up and get scared, kid. Like, that's basically the environment. So we go down, and I don't remember much else, except we get into the nurse's station or the room right there, and the nurse comes in. You know how they always come in with the tray of death in front of you? You know, it's like they come walking by, like displaying the tools in which they are going to torment you with. And she comes in with this, and as I see him, I think, well, that's my sign. Time to go. So I start to bolt out the door. And so I'm running, and I'm taking my steps out. I'm getting around the corner, coming out. I'm like, there it is. There's freedom right there. I can see it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, you see the zombie apocalypse movies, the hands, they just grab you and they begin to pull you back in. It's like, I'm fighting and I'm getting pulled back in because now my mom has reacted and responded. She's grabbed me. She's pulling me back in the room right here. And now my little elementary body has adrenaline pumping like crazy, right? So I'm like, I can lift up a Buick as an elementary kid right now. Like, I'm ready to go. So we're just in this wrestling match as we're going through. And finally, I would reign victorious because my mom and the nurse would not be able to hold me down to give me my shots. And I would walk back to the car feeling a little good because I had won the battle. But you know what? The war was not over yet. Because, see, I would soon enter into another battle where now I would go back to the very same building for the very same shots that I had to have, only this time it would not be my mom who would be taking me back. Why are you laughing? It's like you know what's happening. See, now I go back into the same building, and now it's my dad who's going back with me. Now, I know what's coming, right? So I'm like, I'm going into a fight. There's going to be these shots. Like, we got to be ready to go. So I'm like walking in, and you know how it is. When you're going to this, you're thinking, what's my escape route? How am I going to do? So we're going in, and I start thinking, this is it. And I start to try and get out of there, but my dad, who is overpowering me, is grabbing me and beginning to pull me down. And so my last hope was the bulletin board on the corner. All right, you guys remember this? Like, if you remember the 80s, 90s, especially in school, they'd always put the bulletin board in a building, and it would be like the one that had the cork behind it, and then you put paper over the top of it, and then you put these like little cheesy paper frames around them, you know, and then you staple up all the papers that are right there on it. Well, that's it. And I'm like, I'm about at this angle as he's pulling me this way, and I'm just grabbing, man. So all I remember is screaming and papers flying everywhere. And the bottom border, I can vividly remember this border falling down on the ground as here we go. You know, there's probably a kid still in counseling. I mean, they're an adult now, but they were probably watching this over here, and they're like, Mom, I don't want to go there. Look what they're doing to this kid. So if that's you, I really apologize. I've gotten over it a little bit more now, and I don't respond that way in the doctor. But we drag back down. My dad put me in this pretzel hold. It's like WWE SmackDown, you know, like put you in the hold. And I got the shots. But I got ice cream afterwards, so it paid off. So there you go. You know, we got that part done. You know, but isn't it crazy when you look back in your life at times like this, how fear makes you respond? I mean, even just think about your body physically, how your body responds. I mean, the adrenaline starts pumping in your body and you go into this instinctual fight or flight mode. When you get into that mode, it's like your ability to process and see logically kind of just goes out the window. Like my parents could sit down and say, son, this is for your health for the next 30, 40, 50 years of your life. These nurses are here to help you. They care about you. We care about you. I can't process any of that. I just know you want to stab me with a needle. That's all I know. And so my brain is just going, logic is going out. Instincts are taking over. And those things can be great. I mean, God hardwired those in us for emergency situations when we got to get out of somewhere. But a lot of times what happens in our lives is when fear takes over, whether it is the fear of discomfort, the fear of pain, the fear of giving up something, losing control, wherever this fear causes us. The fear causes us to miss out on something greater. And as we look at fear in our lives, we'll have fear where it causes us to miss out on something greater, especially in our relationships. I mean, think about this. The fear of conflict will cause you to miss out. It will cause you to miss out on a deeper and greater marriage relationship because you're afraid of bringing up and having the conversation. The fear of uncertainty will hold you back from stepping into the dreams that God has put in you, or maybe the dreams that you have and making those become a reality. The fear of failure will stop you from stepping into those dreams, or sometimes the fear of failure will drive us to have unhealthy work patterns, relational patterns, study patterns, because we're so afraid of failing. We're so afraid of what if this leads, especially in some cultures or some families, like what if this leads to shame? What if my family rejects me? And now we got this whole fear of rejection where we're thinking, if I fail, will people reject me? And then we also can have the fear of, if I bring this up about my past, will people still accept me? Will they love me? Is there a place for me? And we can see how all of a sudden now fear begins to come in and it begins to bring confusion around our minds, and it really brings us to this crossroads in our life. That fear within brings us to this crossroads where we'll either choose to let fear reign victorious in our life and we will take a path of least resistance. We'll take the one where we try and skirt around it, shrink back, stay away from it. Or we will choose, when we fight the battle of fear within, to take the path of greatest victory and step into the fight. And as we think about fear, I think about this. Within all of us, we're facing different fears in our lives, and there's not a single one of us. There's not a single one of us that don't want to win within when it comes to fear. That every one of us, we want the stories in our lives where we overcame something, where we overcame a fear. We want the stories where we overcame a pitfall in our marriage. We want the stories where there was something in our life, an addiction or a pain or something in our past that we were able to step over because we went in and faced it. I mean, we want to win. And that's what I believe about all of us here today, is that we want to win. And when we look at this idea of winning within in the face of fear, as we look at God's word, here's what we're going to see, is that in order for us to step over fear, it requires stepping into faith. The stepping over fear requires stepping into faith. And as we've been going through this series the past couple weeks, we have been looking at the life of Joshua. Now, in case you're new, maybe you're new to church and you're joining with us and you don't know who Joshua is, let me catch you up just a little bit. Joshua is one of the key figures in the history of the nation of Israel. Joshua would be one of the leaders of this nation, and he would take over after Moses. Now, if you don't know who Moses is, maybe you've never read the Bible, that's okay. Maybe you've heard of the movie Prince of Egypt, you know, the cartoon that came out quite a while ago. Welcome to your Moses, right? There's Moses, a little bit of a snapshot at least. And so Joshua is taking over after Moses. Moses is arguably one of the best leaders in the nation of history's nation's history, and even the history of the world. Moses led the people out of slavery. He brought them through the desert. He brings them all the way to this point. And now Joshua is taking over. So like no pressure. You're just following an incredible leader who's done amazing things, and everybody's seen God move through him. So what are they going to do through you, right? So here comes Joshua in. And as we've been looking at each week in the series, there's this first command given to Joshua that is found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. It says, Moses, and this is God speaking to Joshua. He says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. So basically, this is the command that God gives Joshua and the nation. It's really the step, the command into the great unknown. I mean, you're going into a lot of uncertainty here. There's a lot of questions. I don't know if any of you ever had your boss come to you and they kind of say, hey, I want you to do this project. And you're like, sure, I got a few questions about that. Can we talk about this, please? Because in this, and as we see, is there's a lot of things that God didn't tell Joshua. There's a lot of details he didn't give him. There's a lot of things the nation just doesn't know how this is all going to pan out. In fact, God, even as we read on, didn't tell Joshua how this would all work out. God didn't tell him the deadline by which it would be completed. God did not say it would be easy and work-free. He didn't say it would come without heartache. He didn't say it would be pain-free or comfortable. In fact, Joshua knows when they cross the Jordan, because this Jordan River, it's the barrier between the land that God had promised many years before the nation of Israel and them. Once they cross this Jordan, he knows they're going to be in battles. They're going to be fighting. The army's going to have to come out. He knows that this is a fight. And I think a lot of times, like with us, we know when we got to step into some fearful situations, it's going to be a fight. That's part of what holds us back, because we know we're going to have to fight into this. But God did not say to Joshua that no one would lose their life. No one would lose their family member. That no one would be injured in battle. Like, he didn't make any of these promises. He didn't say any of these things to Joshua. So Joshua knows they're going into a fight, but the first battle starts right here. The first battle starts within. And with each of us, when we go to step into faith, this is where it all starts, is right here within. Because a lot of times when we're stepping into faith, and if you're trying to do what God wants you to do, you may be able to say logically, like, I can understand how if I do this, like, that's supposed to lead to God's peace in my life, but I don't feel that right now. I don't feel that at all. I want more information. I want to know how it's going to work out. I want to know what's on the other side if I do this. Like, I just don't know. And we go within this wrestling within around the fear of uncertainty and how this is going to work out. We want more clarity in it. But there are some things that God did say to Joshua. In fact, as you read throughout the rest of chapter 1, God did say to Joshua these things. He said, I'll give you the land. I will give you everywhere your feet go. No one will be able to stand against you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors. Keep my words guiding you, and you will be prosperous and successful. So here's the things that God did say. So Joshua knows, okay, I got a lot I don't know, but I got some things I can hold on to right here. These are my rocks. I'm going to hold on to these. But Joshua can also look back in his past. Look back at the history of what God had done in the nation of Israel, and he can look back at those things. Joshua had firsthand witnessed God freeing the people from slavery in Egypt, God doing miracles, protecting them from Pharaoh's army, God opening the Red Sea and letting the people walk through, God fed them in a desert, he provided water from a rock, he led them through the desert, he got them to this point, and on and on and on and on. See, Joshua has a lot he doesn't know,
but he's got some things that God has said specifically, I will do this, and he has the track record of God that he looks back on. And I think that for us, this is so important because when we are stepping over fear into faith, we must hold on to what God has said and what God has done. Then when you're coming to that point in your marriage and you're like, I don't really know how this is going to work. You're coming to that point where you feel like you need to move to another city and even leave maybe some of your family. And you're like, I don't know what this is going to do. You're starting to tithe or trust God financially for the first time. You're like, I don't really know. You got to look back at what God has said and what God has done and let that begin to help fuel your faith so that you can step over fear. I think about this so often that so many times throughout Scripture, even as I've been reading this week in my Bible reading time, which if you are a follower of Jesus, I know we talk some about this, but you have to think about how are you regularly reading God's word and getting it in your life because you have to constantly remind yourself of what God said and who you are. And as I'm reading right now through a couple books in the New Testament that was written by the Apostle Paul, it struck me how often he is constantly saying, this is who you are. This is what Jesus has done in you. This is who you are no longer are. This is who you how you now live. He constantly reminding the people that he's writing to about this is who you are and how you're to live because he's reminding them about what God has done in them, what God has done in the past, so that when they go into the future, they can have faith to take that step and go forward. So Joshua gives the command to get everybody ready. They gather up the army. They start getting all the preparations in. You know, I think that he even begins to send spies into the land because Joshua's basically saying, everything within my sphere of control, like I'm going to get ready and I'm going to do. I'm going to take my steps that I can. And I think when we get into this points of fear, like we all have a sphere of control that we can do some things. God gave you a brain. God gave us wisdom. I mean, we can use those things to control what we can and work on what we can. But then there's going to be a lot of things outside that where we step into that faith zone where we're going to have to trust God. And so Joshua's going through all the preparation. They're getting all the people together. And in Joshua 3 is when they're finally getting ready to go cross into the land. And Joshua sends the officers of the army out amongst this army to give this command. And this is what it says in Joshua 3, starting in verse 3. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Again, they are stepping into the unknown. They're going somewhere they've never been. They don't know what's coming, but they're following this Ark of the Covenant. Now, let me just back up here and say this real quick. How many of you, maybe in elementary school, this can be at all of our campuses, you ever played the game Follow the Leader? Anybody? Go ahead. Some of you did. All right, so some of you have not. So let's go ahead and just talk about this together, all right? Let's get it all out of here. So Follow the Leader is this idea. You have somebody in the front. Everybody else lines up behind him. Follow the leader does whatever they want, and you're supposed to do what the leader does. Hence, follow the leader. So if the leader goes on one foot, what do you think you do? Go on one foot. All right. If the leader puts a hand up, you put your hand up. So let's just practice this all of our campuses together. All right. Right hand up. Here we go, everybody. Follow the leader. Some of you don't get it. Come on. Here we go. All right. Follow the leader, South San Jose. All right. Now two hands up. Here we go. All right. Everybody's got two hands up. Now wave them like you just don't care. All right. Yeah. There you go. Now give yourselves a hand because that was awesome. That was awesome. See, what you learn when you play follow the leader is you learn a life lesson. You know what that lesson is? As if for the rest of your life, you'll be following somebody. Yeah, it's true, right? Like you are following somebody for the rest of your life, and who you decide to follow will determine the direction and the destination of your life. In fact, who you decide to follow will give you confidence as you take steps in following them and as you go forward. And this is the significance of what's happening in these verses. So the Ark of the Covenant was super significant to the nation of Israel. In fact, we have a picture we want to put up on the screens today so that you can see what the Ark of the Covenant looked like. Now, this is a drawing, all right? This is not the real deal, so it's just a drawing of it. And this Ark of the Covenant, what this represented, when you read throughout the Old Testament, was this represented the presence of God among the people. So the priests would actually carry it with the poles that are right here that you'll see. They'll put it on their shoulders, and they would carry it forward, even as Joshua had the officers recommend or say that they would do. And wherever the nation went, the priests always carried the Ark of the Covenant out in the very front. Now, some of you may be having flashbacks right now to Indiana Jones and the Lost Ark, so this is very similar with that, if you grew up watching those kinds of fun movies. And so you would see the Ark out in front as they're leading this. Now, the Ark would be carried, and when they came in where they would camp, they would set up the tabernacle, or maybe even the tent of meeting, where the Ark would go inside, and then the chief priest, whenever they would offer the sacrifice for the forgiveness of the sins of the nation, would bring in some of the blood and put it on the Ark, and it would represent the atonement of the sins. And even when they would set up this tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant would be, the presence of God would come down and dwell and be there amongst the people. And so this was super significant, because what it said when they said, follow the Ark into the unknown place where you don't know where you're going, this meant that they were following God. That as they go into the unknown, they are following God. And for us, as we want to fight the battle of fear within, we can have confidence to step into faith when we are following God. You can have confidence to take steps of faith when you know that you are following God forward. Now, I think about this. Maybe some of you, or we all have to really ask ourselves this question. Your current situation where you find yourself, did you get into it because you followed God into it by faith, and now you're facing a point where you got some fear, but you're following God, and that's what brought you there? Or did you get into your current situation because of some bad decisions? Because if we get into a place on bad decisions, we can't put that on God. We can't blame God for our current situation because we made bad decisions and we're now reaping the consequences. But even if we find ourselves in a place where we made bad decisions and now we're reaping those consequences of those decisions, we can follow God out of them. We can follow God out of your addiction and into your restoration. You can follow God out of your pride that is crushing your business and your leadership into humility and servant leadership, where now people want to follow you. You can follow God out of bad patterns in your dating relationships and begin to put in some biblical principles there that set you up for the greatest possible marriage in the future. See, when we are following God, we can have confidence when we are stepping over fear and into faith, because now we are following the God of the universe, the God who created this whole world, and the God who will give us strength. Joshua now continues to tell the people to get ready in Joshua chapter 3. Give them some more instructions. And then in Joshua 3, verse 13, this is the step. This is all the preparations are done. All the talking about it is done. Now we're going. And it says in verse 13 that when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. So, I mean, there's lots of water here, tons of water. And it says, yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. I think what's significant when we read this account and that we see is when we're stepping over fear into faith is that we see God's provision when we take the step of obedience. That's the principle right here. That we see God's provision when we take the step of obedience. And all throughout Israel's history, right, God had done crazy, amazing things. You can go back and read about it in the Old Testament of the Bible. God had done these amazing things. And here was one more. Because they were willing to do what God said, listen to him, be faithful, God's coming through and doing a miracle and providing. And now he's opening up the Jordan River for them to be able to walk through on dry ground to the other side. And here, I think, is so significant for us to get this idea, because I think a lot of times when we hear the word obedience, especially today, what do we hear in our society? We're like, don't tell people what to do. You can't tell people that. There's no absolute. You can't hold people to an absolute. You can't do these things like this. And we get in this whole realm where sometimes we're so worried about even, honestly, being politically correct around it that like obedience all of a sudden gets this bad word term. But here's the significant matter about obedience as a follower of Jesus, okay? So let me say this. As a follower of Jesus, as we are taking steps to follow Jesus, obedience is so important, because obeying God shows that we believe in God. Obeying God shows that we trust God. Obeying God shows that we love God. But even more, We got to take it from just our head into our feet. That's why the step of obedience is so important, because even the demons believe in God. They even believe he's real. They believe that Jesus is real. But it's the difference in faith. Action is what moves it from a thought, from a belief, from something in our heart into our faith. Faith happens when we start to take the step. That's why it's the step of obedience when we see God's provision. And listen, I know that sometimes this is hard. Sometimes when we take the step of obedience, it's hard for us, because we always think, and we go back to this question of how bad is this going to hurt? Because if we're honest, any time that we have to step over fear and into faith, it hurts. There's some cost. There's some pain right there. And that's why I think this principle is so true for us. It's that your faith capacity will be capped by your pain capacity. Let me say it again. Your faith capacity will be capped by your pain capacity. Now, I know you may be new to church. This is all brand new. Maybe this is your first Sunday and you're like, all you hear is, welcome to church. It's going to hurt. So that's not what we're saying here, all right? That's not what we're saying. So just think about this for just a minute, all right? Your faith capacity is capped by your pain capacity, but it's also true about your leadership capacity. It's true about your financial capacity. It's true about your physical fitness capacity. It's true about your relational health capacity. All of these will be capped by your willingness to endure the pain of growth and progress. And as far as you are willing to go through the pain of growth and progress is where your lid will be. So as far as you're willing to trust God, that's where your faith capacity gets capped. As far as you're willing to change your diet or work out or anything like that, that's where your physical fitness capacity gets capped. As far as you're willing to work with your spouse and go to counseling or take steps to get a better marriage and learn how to communicate, that's where your marriage, relational health gets capped. Because our faith capacity gets capped where our pain capacity is. And I think it's so important for us to recognize and to learn that we have to lean in to the difficulty, that we step over the fear and into faith, because we know that without the pain of the difficulty, without the pain of the step, there's no gain. Because in the step, that's the gain pain. That's the gain pain that begins to bring about God's provision. That's the gain pain that begins to bring about the growth. That's the gain pain that brings us into something greater. See, stepping over fear requires stepping into faith, which will mean that we trust God and we step into obedience to follow him. And then lastly, as they're walking across the Jordan River, Joshua would send 12 men by command of God back down into the riverbed. And these 12 guys would be instructed to go down and to bring up 12 rocks, 12 stones. They were supposed to bring them up from the bottom of the riverbed, right where the priest had been standing with the water split aside, and they bring up these rocks, and they come over, and we read this in Joshua chapter 4, and they begin to set up these rocks. They begin to put them up on the other side where they've crossed over, and this is why. In Joshua 4, verse 20, it says, Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan, and he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until they had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. And listen to this. He says, He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. See, the reason they set up these stones was to be a reminder of what God had done, but also a reminder for future generations. And here's the principle I want us to see, is that every step over fear and into faith has a God rock in your story. Every step over fear into faith is a God rock in your story. It's the times when you'll sit down one day and you'll say, I don't know how that was going to work out, but God. Because for the nation of Israel, this was one of those but God moments. We didn't know how we were going to get into the land, but God showed up did something miraculous, and that's what these mean. That's the story of overcoming fear. That's the win that is within right there when we trust God and we go forward in this. And y'all, I think this is so significant that we recognize the victories that God is bringing in our life, that we recognize the God rocks that he's putting there. And I love what God is doing in our church right now. I mean, just this year alone, the stories of people that I've heard of, the God rocks that are now in their life. Recently, there's a ministry that's been coming to our campus called Teen Challenge. And Teen Challenge is an awesome challenge, an awesome ministry. Love you guys, for those of you who are here today. You know, they come, and people in this program are coming here to this area because of drug or substance abuse, addictions, things of this nature, and they come into this program. And God is changing lives. And last week, a girl walked up to me with a Bible that she got at one of our connection centers here at South Bay. So because of your generosity, we give Bibles away. We're able to do this. She comes up with the Bible, and she goes, I just want to show you this. And she starts flipping through, and it is like highlighted, written all over. The pages are all folded and crinkled, everything like that. I mean, it's like right there. And she goes, I came into Teen Challenge as an atheist, and now Jesus is totally changing my life. You know what? It's a God rock in her story. I think of people here recently, two other stories. You all remember we had a flood this year in San Jose. It was kind of historical and precedent there. But we as a church said, we're going to respond to this. And we began to do efforts to help some of our neighbors just down the street. And there was somebody who came from one of the people that we were helping to our church. And she came, even though having a different faith background and story, she came to our church, and as a result of being here over the past few months, has made the decision to say yes to Jesus and to begin following him, and is going to get baptized at our North San Jose campus in 2 weeks. It's a God rock right there. I think of another person who in our campus was baptized. And this person was baptized, and honestly, there's a lot of fear around baptism. There was fear around taking the step to be baptized because their family is a different religion, different culture, different background. And there was fear of, do I get rejected? Do I get disowned? But Jesus has called me to do this, so I'm stuck in this combination of struggle. And they decided to step over fear, step into faith. And as a result, they got baptized and are starting to go forward because they are trusting in Jesus. And it's another God rock in their story. And I keep thinking about so many of these. Some of you next week, or in 2 weeks, on October 15th, you're going to take the step to get baptized. You're going to come because we're doing Life Change Sunday at all of our campuses. Pastor Andy is going to preach the paint off the walls about a relationship with Jesus, and you're going to want to be here. You're going to want to bring somebody. But some of you haven't yet taken the step to say yes to Jesus or taken the step to get baptized, and you don't even know what's holding you back, but you know right there, you're on that line, and it's the God rock moment where you're going to take the step. And I keep thinking about story after story after story of people, students who have said they're going to keep themselves sexually pure until marriage so that one day they can tell their wife or husband, I waited for you, and it's a God rock. I think about people who've taken the step to tithe for the very first time, and even though it was fearful, they stepped into faith, and it becomes a God rock. And what happens is time after time after time in our lives, we can begin to put up these God rocks. It's the one in your marriage when instead of running away from it, you chose to fight and step into the fear and embrace it. And just yesterday, y'all, I know I got a lot of stories, but this is how amazing God is in our church. I got a text from a couple who was about to get a divorce about a year ago. The bags were packed. They were getting a divorce, but they decided to get the God rock going. They started to step into fear and step into faith, and they started to go forward, and they text my wife and I yesterday a picture of their baby that was born yesterday. And you know what's so awesome? Is that it's a God rock in their story that one day they're going to tell their kid. They're going to say, you know what? You almost didn't exist. You almost weren't here because we almost decided not to go for it and fight. We almost let fear reign. We almost shrank back. Here's the thing. Our steps of faith will shape the story that we tell the next generation, your kids, your grandkids, the rest of your life. They'll be the God rocks that you want to tell. And every single one of us, we want to win within when it comes to fear. We want to have these stories. And what it will require is for us to step over fear and step into faith. And the reason that we can do that is because Jesus would also fight the battle of fear within, and he would step over that fear and step into the faith. In fact, Jesus, it's recorded before he would go to the cross, that he would take his disciples to a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And actually, Jesus would say to his disciples, he would say, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. So stay with me and keep watch." And then as he goes into the garden, he would begin to pray and he would get down on his face. And as he's praying, he'd say, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." See, Jesus is wrestling with this because he knows what this is going to mean. Not only is he going to go through physical persecution, not only will he die on the cross, but as the Son of God, he will be taking on the weight of the sin of the world. And in that weight of the sin of the world on the cross, as he would hang there, God the Father and his relationship would be broken because of the sin that was put on Jesus. He knew the pain, the agony, what was coming. And he's even asking, "If it's your will, could you take it down? There's another way, but not, if it's not your will, then don't take it away." And I think for some of us to think about this is that maybe there's that step of pain, that fear right there in the front. And maybe you're saying, "God, if you can take it away, but man, if there's something you can do in me, if there's a God rock you got right here, don't take it away. Let me go through it and you carry me through it." And because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can put our faith in him. We can trust him. He is the answer for forgiveness. He is the answer for strength. He is the one who can bring peace. And it happens when we are willing to admit that we don't have it all together. We're willing to say, "There's sin in my life. There's a brokenness who's here. I need Jesus to take it." And we just turn to him. When we turn and we pray from our hearts to say, "Jesus, I'm trusting you. I need you to take my sin. And I'm committing to follow you with my life." Then we can experience relationship with God. We can experience the forgiveness. We can experience the strength that we need. It doesn't mean everything's always going to be easy, but it means now there's going to be some God rocks in our life because now we can take steps over fear and steps into faith. So maybe today for some of you, that's the step, that's the God rock right there, is putting your faith in Jesus. And for all of us, I heard this quote, I think applies so much to this idea. It says, "Fear and faith have one thing in common. They both believe in a future that hasn't happened yet." Fear and faith have one thing in common. And they both believe in a future that hasn't happened yet. So the question for each of us today is, what future are we stepping into? Will you choose to step into the future of fear? Or will you choose to step into the future of faith? Because stepping over fear requires stepping into faith. Let's pray. God, today as we pray at all of our campuses, I pray that you would give us just that vision of our future, that vision of faith, the God rocks that you want to do. God, there are some people who have things personally in their life that, God, you are going to change as a result of their steps over fear and discomfort into faith when they lean in. There's going to be some marriages that totally get restored. There's going to be some parents and relationships with kids that are restored. There's going to be some businesses that can begin to thrive because a leader, a business owner, an employee says, "I am going to deal with this and lean into it." God, I pray that through our faith, you would strengthen it. Time after time, as we take steps of faith, that you would strengthen us, strengthen us, strengthen us. And God, that you would give us the courage, the know-how, the will to do, to step over, even in the difficulty, to step over fear and step into faith. And I pray that, God, you would do some miracles again in our lives, just like you've done all throughout history. God, would you do it again? And that's what we pray today. In Jesus' name, amen.